Hey church, we've been doing a little series that's been focusing on some of these end time events, and we just have a tiny little bit of shift here. The first part of this series was called Ready or Not. This is the signs of the times, because the scripture outlines a number of particular signs, the kinds of things that you should be able to see going on in the world that exemplify the nearness of the time of the Lord Jesus' return. So we're going to break it into a number of different categories. One of the categories we're looking at this morning is signs in nature, particularly with earthquakes. One of the very specific things Jesus said on the Olivet Discourse, on the Mount of Olives, that you will experience famine and pestilence and earthquakes. I've got a picture to show you. So my family had a little holiday to BC the week previous, and when we came home, through Rocky Mountain House. And less than an hour after we drove through Rocky Mountain House, this tornado touched down in that nice little town. Show me the next slide, please. I'm not sure if you can see that very well. I'm quite sure that we drove that little road that's just in the back there where the tornado started and came through and ripped up all these trees. Praise God, in my mind, that it happened after we got through there. And what is wonderful is to note, even though we see tornadoes and earthquakes and incredible natural disasters, is that our God is very careful and precise in what he does. He is master over everything. If you see a tornado and think it's destruction, you have no idea what this world would be like if God's hand was not upon the things and the events of this world. How much nastier and worse those things could be. Even if you look at that picture and you see that the town of Rocky Mountain House was almost totally ignored, and yet a massive swath went right by, ripping out all kinds of trees right next to it. All the lives that could have been lost. So we're looking at signs of the end, the first being natural disasters. Let me take you back into Matthew. We have a slide here for that, Matthew 24. We did look at this a little bit a number of weeks ago when we did the Olivet Discourse. So just a little reminder here of one of the things that Jesus said that we didn't touch on very much at the time. Jesus himself speaking in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8, he says, regarding the signs of the end, he said, there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginnings of birth pangs. Famines, earthquakes, and plagues. Not like what we experienced with COVID. Real plagues where people are dropping dead with no help. So currently in our world, there's lots of worry, isn't there? Now, people get fired up. We're worried about climate change, and we're worried about where things are going, and we're causing tornadoes and earthquakes. And but really, for all the concern that we have, according to the scriptures, we haven't seen anything yet. But I'm not hoping just to alarm you this morning. The world is full of alarmists, and that's not my goal. I want to show you this passage from Genesis chapter 8. Actually, I would like to show you this just as a little way to be a little bit encouraged, because the world is filled with alarmists that are telling us within a matter of years, 10 years, and the oceans will have risen so much, and all these things will happen, and we will have destroyed everything, and there'll be no place for humans to live. And yet the scripture explicitly says, Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, so will seed time and harvest. So will cold and heat. So will summer and winter. So will day and night. Those things will never cease. So God has ordained, as long as we have time on this earth, we can enjoy the predictability of what he has provided for us. Summer will come. Winter will come. Springtime will come. Harvest will also come. It will never cease to come. That is by the word of God. And so if you believe in God and you believe in his word, then you can have confidence against all the alarmists of the world. For any damage we're doing, we're not going to do that much. It's amazingly predictable. This is God's gift to us. He's made the seasons amazingly predictable. Never once. So I'm 52 today. I know that's not very long, but in 52 years, I have never once seen spring followed by winter. Sometimes it seems like it, But 52 years in a row, the same thing has happened every time. Spring has come and we put your seeds in the ground because we know summer's coming next. And it happens every time. Because God has made it that way. And we can trust that it is predictable and it will remain that way. God is good. However, during the tribulation, the scripture says weather patterns are going to become incredibly erratic. Specifically, a great shaking of the earth, earthquakes. So, people do this. They record the earthquakes, and you can get all kinds of information about how the earthquakes are doing. So, for at least since the beginning of the 1900s, there have been professional people, seismologists and such, who record these things, measure these things, and they keep records of this kind of data. And basically, for 100 years, from the year 1900 to the year 2000, according to the records they were able to keep, and granted our technology today is a little better, but in those 100 years, things basically never changed. We had the same amount of earthquakes per year. The same amount of big ones, the same amount of small ones, this kind of a thing. But by the year 2000, things began to spike incredibly. I got a next slide I'd like to show you. In 2017, a new term was introduced into our general vocabulary, and it's the term earthquake swarms. Because those who were doing the data and trying to record these were finding so many earthquakes, they were having incredible trouble keeping up. And so they were having to almost simplify by saying, look, in this region here, there were these earthquake swarms. We can't tell you there was a 4.0 and a 4.3 because the list is so big for that general area. And this kind of thing is happening, showing a tremendous increase in the amount of seismological activity that's going on. Another new term, the next slide, that showed up in our lingo recently, this one by geophysicists. And it's the idea of super volcanoes. Not just volcanoes, but super volcanoes. Now, some of this might just be a little bit of alarmism, but we're seeing concern. Yellowstone is the place that they're most concerned of. They say that the land is rising there as much as 10 centimeters a year. It sounds outrageous to me. I don't know. Hopefully the people that are doing that know what they're talking about. So volcanic intensity is on the rise. I remember when I was younger, for many, many years, I'd never ever see volcanoes on the news. And all of a sudden, the past 10 years, seeing it all the time. Another eruption. Places like Hawaii. Eruption, eruption, eruption. Now in the scriptures, in the book of Revelation, it says at the very end, there are five major earthquakes in the book of Revelation. And the worst of which is going to level every mountain and every island. Let's go into the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verses 18 to 20. I might have it a tiny bit abbreviated there just to fit it on the slide. If you've got your Bibles, you can get the full text. Revelation 16, 18 to 20 says, then there came a severe earthquake, and no earthquake like it had ever occurred since mankind has been on the earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. This is a major earthquake. But it could be that we are getting much, much better at detecting earthquakes than we used to be. You say there's earthquake swarms, maybe that was always happening, and we're just much better at detecting it than we were, and able much better to broadcast it across the internet than we were before too. There are many, many alarmists who would even take advantage of that. However, researchers do say that they don't bother reporting the half of the earthquakes anymore. Because they can record so many, there's no point in recording the minor ones like they used to once. There's just way too many. And so they're falling behind. They only report to us now the big things that come along. The question with all of this, Jesus is saying that signs of the end include major natural disasters. Specifically, he says earthquakes. So what does God want us to take away from the earthquake? When a tornado rips right through your town, as it did in Rocky Mountain House, or an earthquake comes and shakes the foundation of your home, What is it that God wants you to know? What is it that he's trying to say? So he's already specifically told us these are signs of the end. Now I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 12, because in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe that God gives us the answer of what it is that God wants to get your attention about when the earthquake comes. Hebrews 12, 18 to 20, it says, "Now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that's created things, so that what cannot be shaken might remain. Therefore, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So he's telling us here what's happening. He brings quakes to the earth, including the big one that's going to come in the end, so that he can remove things. There's a removal that's going on. He's going to remove things that are not permanent, remove things that have no place into eternity. And he wants to alert us to something else. He wants to alert us to the things that cannot be shaken. What is there that cannot be shaken? Well, we say love. Love cannot be shaken. And why is the divorce rate as high as it is? Only God and his kingdom is what he's trying to draw our attention to. The thing that cannot be shaken. He wants our attention to be fixated on that. The current old order will pass away. God will shake it until it is gone. And God's kingdom will stand. In places like California, they joke about the big one, right? One day the big one's going to come, and the whole of the state will break off and float away into the Pacific Ocean. They maybe are underestimating just how bad it might be one day. And the final great shaking comes in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said, "In the end, one of the signs you will notice is earthquakes." But he also says, this is just the beginning of birth pangs. When the earth quakes, what does God say to us? Not just the big one at the end, but when the earth quakes today, what is he saying to us? He said, these are like the birth pangs. This is the beginning of something. So keep your head up and take a look. The small ones that happen today give notice that the big one is coming. That's the whole idea. This is how birth pangs work. But labor pains, they speak to us, don't they? When a woman has labor pains, what is that speaking to the woman? The baby's coming. The time is coming. Soon it's going to be here. Now for a Christian, this is meant to inspire hope. Nobody would enjoy labor pains. Nobody enjoys the earthquake. But if it's a sign of this wonderful thing that's coming for the Christian, that's to inspire hope. The baby's coming. The Lord is coming. So it's glorious. The new heaven, like new life, like the baby, it's coming. The point of natural disasters? Turn your heart to the Lord. This world has its volatility. We can't put our stock in everything. We get our crop in the ground, and we get too much rain, and things are flooded out. We lose a crop. The crop starts to revive. We get hail. It crushes it all. As much as we can trust many things, we also know things are vulnerable. The world shakes now. And the reason the world shakes now is in preparation for the unshakable kingdom. The unshakable kingdom of God. The earthquake says, get ready. Get ready. Like a woman who goes into labor, what does that say to her? Get ready. Get ready. Whatever your preparations are, if you're having a midwife, if you're going to be going to the hospital, if you need a safe space in your house or whatever, you need to get ready. My wife has famously told me a story about her sister who gave birth to my nephew en route to the hospital. Because when the time comes, it can sure come. And you want to be ready. So this is what the Lord is saying. The earth shakes today. Get ready. But you know what? If there's a young couple about to have a baby, and the labor pains start, and you're packing up, you think, we're going to go to the hospital, see a nurse for this. The husband doesn't get just partway down the driveway or part down the road and say, oh, we're going to be there for a little while, and I forgot my coffee grinder. We're going to have to go back. Wife would probably grab him by his nose hairs. We are not going back. The scripture tells us, these things come to remind us, be ready, the big one's coming. The scripture says, remember Lot's wife. All the work that God did to get Lot and his wife and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And she wanted to go back for the coffee grinder. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus says, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Get on the straight and narrow. Get your heart and your mind ready and stick to it. Jesus says, stay alert. Make sure you're not deceived. We're going to go back to verse 28, Hebrews chapter 12, for this good news. Because according to the scripture that we started with here in Hebrews 12 and we're looking at again, Jesus is saying we've already received this kingdom. If you are born again, child of God, you have already received this. Let's look at the verse again. Now he's promised, once more I will shake not only what the earth, but the heavens. The words once more indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is the created things, so that what cannot be shaken remains. The fact that it remains means that it is there. It remains because it is there. Therefore, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That is the thing that will remain that God is saying is there. If you are a child of God, you are part of his kingdom. And what you have in him cannot be shaken. The world might shake around us today, but you can be secure in Christ, receiving his unshakable kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't affected. Because when the bad storm comes and trees start falling down, it doesn't necessarily only fall on your neighbor's house. One might fall on your house too. And that is tricky. But what does it mean? Let me show you Romans 8. We actually sang this earlier. Trevor led us in singing this in the song. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Unshakable. Unshakable. In Hebrews, it's telling us the point of the earthquake to point us towards the end, point us towards a kingdom that never quakes, that never suffers tornadoes. So hope helps today. The believer, Paul tells us in Philippians 3:20, the believer is already a citizen of heaven. That's what he says. And most importantly, I want to show you this. From Hebrews chapter 12, we looked at verse 28. I want to show you the full verse because we haven't seen the full verse yet, and a little bit from verse 29. Because here he tells us, if you are born again and can receive this unshakable kingdom, he tells us then, this then is how you should respond. This is what we do. So church, this is what you need to get ready for this morning. This is how you respond to God. If God has blessed you to make you a citizen of his eternal, unshakable kingdom, this is what he wants from you. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Number one, let us be thankful. And so worship God. Number two, worship God. Worship him acceptably with reverence and with awe, because our God is a consuming fire. Friends, today, right now, you should offer him acceptable worship. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I offer him acceptable worship? What does that look like? And he tells us right in the text what that looks like. Reverence and awe. It's very difficult to explain to you fully what it means for you to have reverence and awe. This is the point in the service where you need to search your own heart and think about the connection you have with the Lord Jesus, the connection you are trying to have with him right now. In your own heart of hearts, are you trying to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ with reverence? Are you doing it in awe? Only you and the Lord in your heart can know if you're striving towards this end. But you might also know if you're being dismissive of it all. And you might also know if you would like to ignore it. You might also know if you're being complacent about it or just have some other thing in the back of your mind that you would rather entertain than to entertain the Lord. And you may not be in that state of reverence of awe. What does reverence and awe look like in the light of quaking? So we don't get too many earthquakes right in New Sarepta. We get the odd tornado come not too far. But your own personal world and your own personal life can quake in other ways, can't it? We all know about that scenario where your life begins to fall apart a little bit. How do you worship the Lord Jesus Christ in reverence and awe when your little world is quaking? Because things are not working and happening the way that you wish and wish you'd like that they would be. How do you worship him with reverence and awe when that's going on? First things we're doing, right? We're wondering about our insurance. We're wondering about our future. What am I going to do if everything continues to fall apart? Church, let me encourage you. Make sure that the eternal God is your assurance. Make sure that he is your portion. Love. Love of God, not ourselves. When he rattles your world, he's saying, keep looking up. Keep heart and move forward. Worship the King of Heaven, because he has provided for you an unshakable kingdom. Make sure that the things of this life aren't getting in the way of that. Church, I'd just like to lead you in a word of prayer as we address the great King of this unshakable kingdom. Father in heaven, you are a mighty, incredible God. Lord, you never promised us perfect peace in this world. In fact, you promised the opposite. You said that in this world we will have trouble. And some of us today, we're troubled. And our hearts are troubled. But Lord, we want to not panic in those moments or not cling to things of the flesh or the world. But help us, Lord, in reverence and in awe, even where we are troubled, to turn to you, to turn to the true master of our souls, to stay alert. Help us, Lord, to get and remain rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. You are the perfect lover of our souls, and there is no fault found in you. Lord, help us to be a people who cling to you richly, wholly, and fully. And may it always work out for your glory. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.